Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day of worship. We thank you that we can unite our hearts, draw near to your very presence, express our love for you, our gratitude toward you, and also a time where we can be gathered together to hear what you have to say to us. We thank you for what you reveal to us in the scriptures, and we pray that more and more you will be pleased to help us to understand what it is to communicate to us through the scriptures. We know that unless you speak to us, we will not have true insight. We pray that the truth will renew our minds and help us to know how to respond more fully to your calling for our lives at a personal level and also together in church life. We commit this time to your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the church and the fulfillment of God's purposes. I've been considering with you Revelation in the Old Testament on the working of church life, and this is the fourth message. And today I will be sharing some comments on reading the Bible, bearing in mind the relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and also the issue of God transmitting truth to individuals and through them to his people. We've noted God did not reveal anything directly in the Old Testament with regards to church life, because in Old Testament times, the role of the church was not yet revealed. However, God's intention for the role of the church was already in his heart before the foundation of the world, and major principles regarding the outworking of church life can be found in the Old Testament. Do take note that we can appreciate these major principles in the Old Testament regarding the outworking of church life only when we read the Old Testament in the light of what has been revealed in the New Testament. If we do not do that, it's not possible. Just reading the Old Testament itself cannot shed light on our working in church life. We can only appreciate this when it is read in the light of what has been revealed in the New Testament. We can say even the Old Testament prophets and writers of the books of the Old Testament, they did not see and understand what they prophesied and wrote in the Old Testament in the way it is feasible for us to see and understand today. That is, what is feasible for us today, because we have the New Testament, we can actually appreciate various things written in the Old Testament which even the writers of the Old Testament and the prophets themselves are not able to see and understand. Why? Because they were living under the Old Covenant, and they did not have the New Testament that we have today. So, for example, regards to church life, there are many things that we can actually see that's actually there in the Old Testament that God intends for us to learn. And many of these things, the writers of the Old Testament, they themselves do not quite appreciate and see these things that they have recorded for us. At this juncture, it may be helpful for me to make some comments on the way we read the Bible, the need to bear in mind the relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That is how we should approach the reading of the scriptures. And this is an important subject, but not often talked about. From time to time, I've made some remarks. Today, I intend to share something that's relevant to what we have been considering, but this is not an exhaustive treatment on this subject. There are some Christians who concentrate on reading the New Testament, and they neglect or they fail to pay sufficient attention to reading of the Old Testament. Why? Because they find the Old Testament difficult to understand, and after a while, they give up. Sometimes they are not sure what is applicable, what is not, There are also some who may give the reason, sometimes to some degree an excuse. They say we are living under the new covenant, and so reading the New Testament is sufficient. We need to take note of 2 points. One is that the New Testament cannot properly stand on its own. It's like something hanging in the air. If you just read the New Testament, you look at the whole New Testament, it is actually hanging in the air. I'll elaborate what I mean by that. We cannot properly appreciate the New Testament without reading and understanding the Old Testament, because the Old Testament provides the background and the context. For example, for the appearance of the Messiah, the New Testament begins with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. But it's the Old Testament that provides the background and the context for the appearance of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And also the inauguration of the new covenant. Yes, we are living under the new covenant, but God didn't just suddenly inaugurate the new covenant. There's a whole background to it. Likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, didn't just suddenly appear on the scene. And also, if you are to appreciate the ministry of the apostles and the content of the New Testament, we cannot properly appreciate them without understanding the Old Testament background and the context for what God now reveals in the content of the New Testament. The second point why it's important to read the Old Testament is that what God has revealed in the Old Testament contributes, not only contributes, but contributes significantly to our total appreciation of what God wants to communicate to us. As God's children, we know that's vital. We want to know what God wants to communicate to us. And what God wants to communicate to us through the scriptures is, of course, very important. And if we do not read the Old Testament, we will fail to appreciate much of what God intends to contribute to us, which we cannot find just by reading the New Testament. So the Old Testament contributes significantly to our total appreciation of what God wants to communicate to us, including our appreciation of the total picture of the outworking and fulfillment of God's purposes. And I've sought to impress upon you over the years that this is a very important theme. In fact, we can say this is the major theme. Of looking at the whole big picture that helps us to understand, in the first place, why God created man, and then the outworking, the fulfillment of his purposes, and the final goal in eternity. It includes our appreciation of man's part. If you do not read the Old Testament together with the New, you cannot properly appreciate man's part in the fulfillment of God's purposes. And it begins with Genesis and how God has created man his image, in his image, and the fall. If you do not understand these things, then there will be a significant gap in your appreciation of the truth. And it is also, you will make it difficult for you to appreciate what is written in the New Testament. You must understand that the apostles and the writers of the New Testament, who has recorded for us there, it builds on what has already been revealed in the Old Testament. And the New Testament is filled with quotations of the Old Testament, as well as many, many allusions to the Old Testament. And if we do not understand the Old Testament, we will not be able to properly appreciate what has been revealed in the New Testament. And also the Old Testament, from Genesis, as mentioned, how God created man's image, the fall, and so on, it continues on with the role of Israel and the place of the Old Covenant in the fulfillment of God's purposes. And it's only when we read through the Old Testament and then the New, we'll be able to see the proper place of the New Testament, the New Covenant. There's progressive revelation from Genesis to Revelation. the whole Bible is one unit. However, if we fail to read the Old Testament in the light of what has been revealed in the New Testament, then we will not be able to understand properly its relevance to us. Just reading the Old Testament by itself, we will have difficulty understanding what is its relevance to us. And even if you read the Old and the New, if you do not try to appreciate the Old Testament in the light of what has been revealed in the New, then you can become quite confused. There's a lot that's written in the Old Testament that's meant for the Jews under the Old Covenant. And if you're not careful, you may absorb and apply them to your lives and you result in problems. But then what is relevant? How to receive what is applicable to us? The New Testament, we need to understand what God has revealed New Testament under the New Covenant, and we under the New Covenant. It's only when we understand that, then we will be able to understand how to appreciate and draw out the truths and principles from the Old Testament for our own lives. There's also this issue of what we read and what we hear of what others say when they quote the Old Testament. Are they valid? Are they true? How do you know? Sometimes people say they are quoting from the Bible, so they quote from the Old Testament. But does it mean you can just quote from the Old Testament and then say this applies to us? For example, and this is true, this is not just theoretical, and not just one or two. There are those who say we should be observing various festivals and practices in the Old Testament because they say it is in the Bible. Why is it we are not observing all these things? And they observe them. And they say you also should observe them. You believe in the Bible? Then how come you are not observing them? So we need to understand, appreciate the Old Testament in the light of what has been revealed in the New Testament. On the other hand, there are those who reject support for views expressed based on references to passages from the Old Testament. When there are various truths and views, then you support it from the Old Testament. There are those who say it is not valid. You reject this kind of arguments, references to the Old Testament because they say we are living under the New Covenant, so it is not applicable. Sometimes you will come across people who argue in that way, and this is especially so when they do not like the views expressed. It does not mean we cannot quote the Old Testament to support our views or position. We can, if we know how to do it properly. Perhaps some of you may be aware, in our current day context, there's quite some confusion in this area of homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and so on. And not only affecting believers in the streets, the average Christian, but also those holding positions of responsibility in the Christian world. And there are those who say references to Leviticus on this subject, that's not applicable to us. That's Old Testament. Is it so? As I mentioned, I'm not going to exhaustive treatment, but to highlight to you that these are real issues. We need to know our basis, our ground. As we read through the whole Bible, we should be on the lookout for how the New Testament sheds light on how we should approach and understand the Old Testament. At the same time, also, As we read through the Old Testament, we should also seek to understand how the Old Testament helps us appreciate more fully various truths revealed in the New Testament. Let us bear in mind, the New Testament and the Old Testament complement each other. Each helps us towards a fuller appreciation of the other. And together, they will enhance our appreciation of the wisdom of God and the meaning of the inspiration of the Scriptures. We know the whole Bible is inspired by God, Old Testament and New Testament. And as we learn to read the Bible in this way, we keep reading through the Bible again and again with passing time. If we read through it prayerfully, the Lord will open the eyes of our heart to appreciate these things I'm talking about. And even if you have some difficulty understanding these things, it doesn't mean we are helpless. God does raise up those who can help us to understand these things, but we need to be diligent ourselves to read the Scriptures, to have a healthy attitude, so that those whom God has raised, to whom God has granted insight to understand these things, when they tell us, we will be able to recognize that yes, these things are true and is consistent with what God intends to communicate to us through the Scriptures when we look at the whole big picture of the Old Testament and the New Testament. So it's important for us to read the Bible in this way, and you will help us in our total appreciation and understanding of what God wants to communicate to us through the Scriptures. You will help us to understand the meaning of the unity of the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, different. They are not the same. The New Testament speaks more directly to us. The Old Testament, we have to bear in mind to read it in the light of what has been revealed in the New. But both Old Testament and New Testament are inspired by God, and God intends that we read them together. And that is why it is vital for us to keep reading through the whole Bible again and again and again. As we do so prayerfully, then the Lord may be pleased to continually shed new light on how to appreciate the Old Testament and the New Testament, and also what He wants to communicate to us through the Scriptures. There's so much that God wants to communicate to us, of which we only know a little. But if you're humble, we have the right attitude, and our approach to the Scriptures is sound, then there's a proper basis for us to look to the Lord to continue to shed light. And if you do read through the Scriptures prayerfully, again and again and again, you'll find that with passing time, more and more light dawns, and you begin to see there's so much meaning, not only in the New Testament, but also the Old, and how the Old and New Testament complement each other. Coming back to Revelation, the Old Testament, on the outworking of church life, we have seen through what has been recorded in the Old Testament with regards to the tabernacle and the temple that God has important things to say to us with regards to major areas of truth in the working of church life. And that the New Testament tells us, under the New Covenant, we are the temple of the living God. So now we are to build up church life, and there are various parallels, principles revealed in the Old Testament regards to the building of the tabernacle, the temple, which are very helpful, relevant for us, and it sheds light on how we should work out church life. I've explained this and also gone through with you Exodus chapters 25 to 34. So as I mentioned, this is not just somebody asserting something, it's something that you can examine for yourself and you must be satisfied for yourself that indeed it is so. And these things, once we can see, we can see that it is not ambiguous. When we bear in mind the unity of the scriptures and progressive revelation, as I mentioned, the church has an important part in our working of God's purposes. And it's not surprising at all that in the Old Testament, God already has revealed important principles relevant for us as we seek to work out church life. So we have looked at God's revelation to Moses, but they were meant for transmission to the Israelites, detailed instructions regards to the construction of the tabernacle, culminating in God giving Moses the two tablets. And we saw in the last message that at this important juncture, when Moses was about to transmit God's revelation to Israelites, that Israel committed a very grievous sin, the making, worshipping of the golden calf, and God told Moses he intended to destroy Israel. Moses entreated the Lord. God changed his mind about destroying Israel, but God's judgment still fell on the Israelites through Moses and through the sons of Levi, resulting in the death of about 3,000 men. We concluded the last message on this note, that God is a God of wrath and he judges sin. True in the Old Testament, still true today. But God is also a gracious and forgiving God, and he continues to open the way for his stumbling children to carry on the journey in their working of God's purposes. This principle, true in the Old Testament, thankfully, it is still very true for us today, because we worship the same God. God is unchanging in his attributes. He is still the holy God. He is still the God of wrath and judges sin, but he is still a gracious, forgiving God. If this were not so, then many, if not all of us, would have been disqualified from continuing to have a part in our working of God's purposes, because we do falter and fail in many ways. Let us take note that God called Moses. He revealed to Moses detailed instructions, not for Moses himself, full stop, but that Moses may then transmit to the Israelites. And I've highlighted especially regards to the building of the tabernacle. But let us take note. This is not because God cannot, or that God did not speak to the people directly at all. God did. But with regards to important revelations for all the people, then God spoke mostly through Moses, and then God spoke first to Moses, and then through Moses to the people. Substantially, it has been like that. So before we go on to the next phase of transmission, let us pause and look at how this whole phase under the Old Covenant came about, and then see what we can learn. Let's trace the process from Exodus chapter 19. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 19. I'll be going through quite rapidly, but it's good if you can turn to the scriptures, and this can also help us in the future as we read the Old Testament for ourselves. Chapter 19 is a good place to start in regards to Revelation, in regards to the tabernacle, because chapter 19, verse 1 tells us, in the third month after Israel had come out of Egypt, verse 2 tells us they came to the wilderness of Sinai. And verse 3 goes on to tell us how, or rather verse 2 first, they came to the wilderness of Sinai, they came to the wilderness, and there Israel camped in front of the mountain. And that's where this very major phase and important things began to take place. In Sinai and the mountain of Sinai. So chapter 3 tells us, Moses went up to God and the Lord called to him from the mountain. Not the whole of Israel, not all Israel, but Moses, one man. God called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to Israel. As I mentioned, I will not read every word. So verse 4, Moses was to tell Israel, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." So these were words that Moses were to tell the Israelites. "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my possession, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." This was the beginning of the old covenant between God and the Israelites. So these were very important words, but God spoke these words to Moses. And then Moses was to say these things to the Israelites. So verse 7, Moses called the elders, set before them all these words. Verse 8 tells us, all the people answered, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So the people responded. But this after Moses spoke to them. And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, again it is to Moses, not to all Israel, "Behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud, so that the people may hear when I speak with you, individual, to Moses, and may also believe in you forever." So God wanted the Israelites to recognize who Moses was, and that God had appointed him, and that Moses had an important role to fulfill. Then Moses told the people, the words of the people, to the Lord. Then if you look at verse 12, these are the words of the Lord to Moses. "You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death." So it's only Moses to go up the mountain. But there was to be a boundary set so that people do not approach the mountain, or they will die. So God's intention was to communicate the truth to the people, but not directly, but through Moses. Then, chapter 19, from verse 18 onwards, we see Mount Sinai was in smoke. The Lord descended upon it in fire. Verse 20 tells us, the Lord came down on Mount Sinai, to the top of the mountain. He didn't come down, but on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. So you see again and again, it is this. God himself, he wanted to speak to Moses, but actually the truths were meant to be communicated to all Israel. Verse 21, then the Lord spoke to Moses, warned the people so that they do not break through to the Lord. Verse 23, Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds about the mountain and consecrate it. This we saw just now in verse 12. Verse 24, the Lord said to him, that is to Moses, go down and come up again, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord. So the Lord made it very clear, he only wanted to speak to Moses, but then through Moses to the people. And then that is the context at the end of verse 24 onwards, we see God continuing to speak to Moses. Sorry, Acts chapter 19, verse 24. That is near the end of the chapter already. So Moses then went out to the people and told them. And then we find from chapter 20. Chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. That is the Ten Commandments. The Lord spoke all these words, and the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and so on. Right up to verse 17. not to covet your neighbor's house or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So all that is the Ten Commandments. Then from verse 18 onwards, we see verse 18, all the people perceived the thunder and the lightning, they trembled and stood at a distance. So God spoke, but he was at the top of the mountain. So the people did hear something, but they were not at the top of the mountain. They trembled, they stood at a distance. Verse 19 of Exodus 20. They said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen. But let not God speak to us, or we will die. Verse 21. So the people stood at a distance, while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. So again we see the people at a distance, and Moses was the one who approached God. Then the Lord said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I have spoken to you from heaven. So basically, God spoke to Moses, and specifically, this is according to instructions of God, but the people did hear the voice of the Lord, but they were at a distance. In that context, God gave the Ten Commandments. And if we read on, we will find that after verse 22 of chapter 20, God spoke, gave a few more instructions, and then that is followed by chapters 21 to 23. If you read chapters 21 to 23, you will find that these chapters contain various laws and instructions from God. But again, all these were revealed to Moses, and then from Moses for transmission to the Israelites to observe. So if you read chapter 21, verse 1, now these are the ordinances which you are to set before them. So these are the words spoken to Moses, but for Moses to set before the people. And then you read right on. Chapters 21, 22, 23. All these are instructions God spoke to Moses, and then from Moses to the people. After these three chapters, we come to chapter 24, and this will be leading directly afterwards to instructions regards to the building of the tabernacle. After Exodus chapters 21 to 23, we find God instructed Moses again to go up to the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. So first, chapters 24, let's read 3 verses, verses 1 to 3. He said to Moses, as God said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel, and you shall worship at a distance. So this at first may seem Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders. But then verse 2 tells us, Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord. But they shall not come near, nor shall the people come up with him. So again, Moses alone was to go up. Verse 3. Then Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances. God had revealed to Moses the ordinances, and God and Moses told the people. And the people responded, all the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do. That is the early ordinances, they were meant for Israel to observe. And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord, built an altar, and so on. Now we go on to look at Exodus chapter 24. Carry on with there. We look at verse 12. Now the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law. And we read on verses 15 to 18. Verse 15 tells us Moses went up to the mountain. The glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai. So we see that the scene painted here is preparing us that something very important is about to take place in relation to God's revelation to Moses and through Moses to the people. And this is actually the introduction to the instructions regards to the tabernacle, the building of the tabernacle. So verse 16, glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai. Seventh day, then God called to Moses from the midst of the cloud. The glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountain top. So this was at the mountain top. Then verse 18 tells us, Moses entered the midst of the cloud. He went up to the mountain, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. So Moses was fasting. 40 days, 40 nights, Moses was up there on the mountain. And it was only after the 40 days and 40 nights, then the Lord spoke to Moses, chapter 25, verse 1. And that's where we have looked at from chapters 25, verse 1 onwards. And what is all that? It's regards to the building of the tabernacle. Detailed instructions. So it's clear, God was preparing the scene. Something important is about to take place. And this was an important phase in the unfolding of God's purposes, the inaugurating of the old covenant. And a very important part of it is the building of the tabernacle. And Moses had to prepare himself. He was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights, and then God spoke to him. But notice chapter 25, verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel. And then God went on to speak to Moses. So these words are meant for the Israelites. So from Exodus chapter 25, verse 1 onwards, we see the detailed instructions that God revealed to Moses for transmission to the Israelites regards to the building of the tabernacle. And that's where we have spent some time to look at these detailed instructions and important principles, truths that are relevant for us to bear in mind as we seek to work out in church life. The parallel today. They built the tabernacle, they built the temple for us today. We are building up the living temple. We are the living temple, the church of the living God. What can we learn from this process that has been recorded in the scriptures for us? Why is this recorded for us in the scriptures in this way? What can we learn? We can observe this pattern in the way God chooses to transmit important, substantial truths to individuals and through them to His people in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, both Old Testament and New Testament. For example, in the Old Testament, we see through Moses, substantially, a lot, God revealed to him and then through him to the people. Then the other is the prophets. And the prophet says, thus says the Lord. God first spoke to the prophets and then through the prophets to the people. So there's a lot of this in the Old Testament, but it's meant for the people, for the Israelites. And likewise, in the New Testament, through the apostles, and especially the apostles Paul and John. The Apostle Paul and the Apostle John. God revealed much to the Apostle Paul, but not just meant for Paul, but for all of us under the New Covenant. And likewise, the Apostle John. And many of us may not be so familiar with the significance, because we have often, over the years, we have often referred to the Apostle Paul, but I want to emphasize what God has revealed to and through the Apostle John is very substantial and very significant. There's a lot of it in Revelation, but not only in Revelation, the Gospel of John, as well as the Epistles of John. There are deep truths that God has seen it fit to reveal to us through the Apostle John and also the Apostle Paul. In the unfolding of God's purposes after the New Testament times, the Lord continues to raise up those to whom he transmits important truths and through them to his people, but not exactly the same as in the Old Testament and New Testament. Not like the revelations to Moses and the prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles Paul and John in the New Testament. Because the content of what God revealed to Moses and the prophets in the Old Testament and through the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John, much of this content we find they are now part of the Scriptures. And the revelation from God for the content of the Old Testament and the New Testament has been completed. The Bible is now complete. So since then it is different, but there is still a principle there that is helpful for us to bear in mind. Since then, it has more to do with God granting insight into important truths already revealed in the Scriptures for transmission to his people. Although already revealed in the Scriptures, Christians, when they read the Scriptures, often they are not able to appreciate, to gain insight into the tremendous wealth that's in the Scriptures. And here, I'm not just talking about some mental concepts. Sometimes some people may think they know a lot of the Bible. They read what others say and they can repeat it. But it's just some mental concepts. I'm now talking about spiritual insight into the truth and living truth that speaks to our heart, that helps us to truly appreciate the meaning that God intends to communicate through the Scriptures. So generally, many Christians, in spite of the fact that we have the Old Testament, the New Testament, and so many centuries, or rather the centuries have passed, yet, until today, many Christians still have little spiritual insight into all that is feasible to be understood, all the truths that God has enshrined in the Scriptures. Remember Paul in Ephesians 1, he prayed for believers. He prayed for believers that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened so that we may see and know the truth. This is an important principle that we need to bear in mind. What I'm talking about here is true spiritual insight. Sometimes we hear believers referring to the teaching of the Lord Jesus, and they may say that there are many parables told by the Lord Jesus, and these parables are very helpful in enabling us to understand the truth that the Lord wants to transmit to us. But many are not so conscious that the Lord Jesus actually told the disciples that many do not see nor understand the true meaning of the parables. We think the parables, it helps us to understand. But the Lord Jesus himself says, many do not see nor understand the true meaning of the parables, and also what he has been trying to communicate and recorded for us in the Scriptures regards to the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 13. I'm just trying to refer to a parallel principle that we can see from this passage, but I'm not now going to expound this passage. Matthew 13, verses 10 to 13. This was the context where the Lord Jesus had just told the parable of the sower. And it may seem quite easy to understand the parable of the sower. But it was in this context, verse 10, the disciples came and said to him, the Lord Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? As I said, we read the parable of the sower, it may seem quite easy to understand. But the Lord Jesus answered the disciples. He said, do you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. God needs to reveal the truth. It requires spiritual insight. Verse 13, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they did not see, and while hearing they did not hear, nor do they understand. The parable of sower may seem so easy to understand. Anybody can understand it. Some people think. But not so. Then the Lord Jesus quoted from Isaiah. He says, in this case, verse 14, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. Keep on seeing, will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. Not that it's impossible to understand, but it requires spiritual insight. But if our hearts are not receptive, our hearts have become dull, then we cannot properly appreciate the meaning. And likewise for us today, when we read the scriptures, it's very important that we have a healthy, receptive heart and spirit. Then the Lord can speak to us. Then the eyes of our hearts will be opened. Then we can truly understand what is it that God wants to communicate to us through the scriptures. Otherwise, you may think, oh, I really know. I understand this, I understand that. But there's no true spiritual insight. But even for those who are more healthy spiritually, and there's a whole range, from those who are very dull of hearing to those who are quite healthy and quite receptive. But there's still a range. But not only there's a range, even those who are relatively more healthy, they can receive, they can understand more, there needs also to be this healthy aspect in the hearts of believers. That is, even when we can receive, we can understand, to know that there's a lot more in the scriptures we still have yet to understand, and even those areas we have some understanding. In times where I've given examples like our recognition that God is sovereign, or God is the God of love, God is the God of love, and we can list down many of the attributes of God, but we may still know so little of what these things mean. And with passing time, God may speak to us and grant us spiritual insight more and more into what all these things mean. But not only that, also a place in our hearts to recognize that there are those whom God has raised, who are gifts to the church, to whom God grants further insight, meant for the people, from whom we can learn and benefit. There are also important things that God wants His children to understand in practical outworking, in the fulfillment of His purposes, including their working in church life, where we need God's guidance, specific issues. In one sense, we need God's guidance for every issue, but especially important areas, and sometimes not just for the individual, but for the whole congregation, and different issues in different contexts, different phases in the Lord's work. So not just truth in the scriptures, but the need to understand what God wants to speak to us in the unfolding of His purposes, different phases in the unfolding of His purposes, and how God now wants us to respond to Him and cooperate with Him. And God does raise up those whom He equips and grants insight into important truths revealed in the scriptures, as well as what He has to say on important issues and phases in the fulfillment of His purposes. But together also, because of God's intentions for us to work out and appreciate the expression of body life, God at times also reveals this in a group context, and how various ones amongst God's children, together, as they look to the Lord, God speaks, and they complement one another in their understanding of what God has to say in the scriptures, as well as practical outworking. And those who love the Lord and are receptive to what God has to say, will be able to benefit from the ministry of those whom God has raised and whom God has sent and through whom God wants to speak to his people. In one sense, we can say that this principle at another level applies to all believers, because all of us today can, if we are truly born of the Spirit, we can experience the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we can be filled with the Spirit, we have the Scriptures, and as we read the Scriptures, God can speak to us, every believer. And the truths that God has taught us are also meant to be transmitted to others, his children as well as to unbelievers. So in one sense, this principle is meant to apply to all believers, but there are those whom God has raised up, and this principle of God completing the truth and to them transmit to the people takes place at a more pronounced level. And this takes place throughout church history. However, we need to bear in mind that human beings are fallible, and this includes God's servants. So there are those who may be professing Christians, but they are not born again. There are those who are born again and who are serving the Lord, but their understanding of the truth, how sound, how wholesome, it varies. There can also be areas where the understanding is sound, whereas in other areas not so sound. And there are those who may be seriously wrong in important areas and issues. We are now different from the Old Testament times, where the prophets preached words directly from the Lord, where they pronounce, "Thus saith the Lord." Today we have the Scriptures, and God wants his servants, as they seek to communicate the truth, to properly substantiate from the Scriptures. Not just what they have studied according to their natural minds, but God reveals truth to them. God grants them insight to the Scriptures, and they must then be able to show to the children of God, so that God's children can see for themselves that these are indeed truths that God wants to communicate to his people, so that God's children can be strongly grounded in the truths revealed in the Scriptures. They can build their convictions on what God has revealed, and not just what someone has asserted. But then this means it is vital, and this is the last part that I want to end today's message, it is vital for God's children to learn to be discerning. This is vital. There's a lot that's going on where there are various aspects that are truths that we can learn from other believers. But there can also be various mixtures of unwholesome things, errors, mixed up with it. And at times there can be very serious errors. And this has been taking place in a universal church all through the centuries, and very, very real today and until the second coming of Christ. We are now in this phase in the unfolding of God's purposes. It is vital that God's children learn to be discerning, because what we read and what we hear may not all the time be wholesome and accurate. As God's children, we are living in this fallen world, and we are also exposed to significant errors and wrong teaching. So we must learn to discern and learn to reject what is not of the Lord, careful not to go astray from the truth. but at the same time, to learn to to receive well what is from the Lord. What is from the Lord can be from our own reading of the scriptures, but also from what we can learn from others whom God has granted spiritual insight. We must learn to receive well, discern and benefit from what others have seen, if it is accurate and sound, so that we will grow well, and then we can participate and be part of this process of the transmission of the truth to others, so that we can truly be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. As I mentioned, this principle is applicable to all believers. So how can we become more discerning? This is an important subject. I will only take a very few minutes. Mention three important areas to pay attention to. At other times, I've gone to this in greater detail. This continues to be an important area that we need to understand and pay heed to. Three important areas to pay attention to. First, which is primary, without which the other two cannot properly take place. And the first is, we must pay a lot of attention to our spiritual health and our personal relationship with God. That is the basis from which we can learn to discern truth from error. It's not a mental exercise. The Lord will help us to recognize, to discern. But the first point needs to be supplemented by the second. And this is clearly God's intention and very biblically sound. You can see for yourself whether it's so. The second point is our grounding and foundation in the truths revealed in the scriptures. God has given us the scriptures. Are we diligent? Do we make an effort to seek to understand and ground ourselves in the truths revealed in the scriptures? And this is a lifelong process. Is there the eagerness, the hunger in our heart, especially the important areas of truth? As I mentioned, this can be in our own reading of the scriptures, but also we are our learning from others who have insight into the truth revealed. But we have to first satisfy ourselves that they have truly helped us to understand the scriptures, not just what people assert. But this is very critical. When we are well grounded in the scripture, the more we are grounded in scriptures, the more we will be able to discern. Because whatever we hear must be consistent with the total revelation in the scriptures. And there's a lot of wrong teaching. If you are spiritually healthy, you have reasonable grounding in scripture, straight away you will be able to sense something is amiss. It is inconsistent with the total revelation in the scriptures. And the third point that we need to pay heed to is that we need to prayerfully consider what we are exposed to. Examine the scriptures to see whether they are biblically sound. We must do that. Not receiving into our hearts before we are sure that they are biblically sound. And this is especially true when the source is a source we are not familiar with. If there are those whom we already have grown to have more confidence that their views are generally sound, they support what they believe in and so on, it's a different category. But even then, we still want to satisfy ourselves that what we hear is biblically sound. So on this note, I will end with Acts chapter 17, verses 10 to 12. And this passage tells us about the Jews in Berea. Paul and Silas went to Berea, and the scriptures commended the Bereans that they were more noble minded. And it tells us why. For they received the word with great eagerness. So Paul and Silas, they were ministering the word. The word here refers to what God wants to communicate to the people. At times, the scripture says the disciples went about preaching the word. That is the gospel, the truth that God wants to communicate to the people. They received the word with great eagerness. So that's important. There must be the eagerness. But at the same time, they were examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. So there must be the heart that's eager to know the truth, hungry. You must not be indifferent. You must not treat the truth lightly. There must be some, you must regard them as precious. But you must examine the scriptures to see whether it is so. And today, the proper way to preach the truth in a way that will be helpful to believers is to properly substantiate them from the scriptures, to show how they are derived, and the hearers can then examine for themselves. But then you need to have some understanding of the scriptures yourself. Then you can examine the scriptures to see whether what you hear is sound or not. We'll pause here for today. Let us now spend some time to prepare our hearts before we partake of the Lord's Supper. As we prepare our hearts to partake of the Lord's Supper, let us draw near to the Lord. Let us thank Him for giving us the scriptures, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let us ask the Lord to help us to truly appreciate the scriptures He's given to us, and that He may help us to be diligent and how to understand, appreciate the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And most of all, to appreciate the central areas of truth that God desires to communicate to us through the scriptures, and the heart of God's revelation in the scriptures is the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, His resurrection, and the implications for our lives, and God's children being joined to the risen Christ, and all that God intends for us in Him, and how God wants us to learn and grow in Christ, in the body of Christ, in our working and expression of body life. And then, as we learn, as we grow, to also become a powerful testimony to the Lord and to the truth of the gospel, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Let us ask the Lord to search our hearts. Is there anything in our hearts that hinder Him from speaking to us, that hinder us from gaining spiritual insight into the truth and receiving the truth into our hearts? Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the scriptures inspired by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness, so that we may be truly adequate and equipped for every good work. We recognize our limitations, that we still understand so little of all that You desire to communicate to us, all that is feasible for us to appreciate and learn from the scriptures. We pray that You will continue to speak to us and to help us, that we may learn to give priority to the reading and learning from the scriptures for ourselves, and also to benefit from the ministry of the brethren, from all who can help us to gain true insight into the scriptures. And we know that your intention is not for us to accumulate knowledge and become puffed up, but because you want us to learn and to grow well and to participate effectively in our working of your purposes, that we may be effective ambassadors for Christ, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and also to contribute well our part in the expression of body life, in our working of church life. We pray that you will speak to us and help us to remove all that hinders our relationship with you and your speaking to us, and that we may be more deeply resolved in our hearts to pay more attention to the things that truly matter, what is of eternal significance, that indeed we may learn how to live as your children, citizens of your kingdom, citizens of heaven living in this fallen world. We thank you now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. And we ask that you will wash away our sins, renew us in the right spirit, so that we will not partake Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. We ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.